You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, here we go. Coin flip time for Fast Track. One side of the coin, the USC Trojans. The other side of the coin, the Gonzaga Zags. John called in the air.
Oh, what the hell? Give me USC.
It is USC. John wins.
USC. Ooh. Nice.
Precursor. All right, I'm going to go first. No advantage comes with that.
Okay.
Okay, Mace. A company called Mischief has been creating some of the weirdest products that have spread across the internet over the years. Mace, you still with me?
I'm still with you.
All right.
I'm not sure where that came from, but okay. Go ahead.
Last week, they teamed with the rapper Lil Nas X to create Satan shoes. Each of the individually numbered 666 pairs of modified Nike Air Max 97s will contain one drop of human blood. Each pair sells for $1,018. Shoe collectors are crazy. They go for lots of crazy stuff. Do you think Satan shoes will be a hit or a miss?
Okay, now I'm going to say miss. I mean, everybody loves Lil Nas X and he had the biggest record of the year. What was that record called? Old Town Road, I think, was his big record that he did with Billy Ray Cyrus. I don't understand the concept of Satan shoes. I'm not sure why you would want to wear two of the 666 Satan shoes. That number freaks me out. The omen freaks me out. The idea of the Antichrist freaks me out. I'm not sure why I want to wear Satan shoes.
Well, apparently
I'm not in.
It's not going very well for Lil Nas X. A lot of people are trying to cancel him. Because he has turned to the dark side. Yeah. Trevor Lawrence, the presumed number one pick in the draft, is not happy with the Satan shoes. And a lot of other people are down on him. Lil Nas X is trying to, not even apologize for him. He's trying to, get his side of the story out there. But so far, they're not going. I'm with you. I think it's going to be a miss.
Lindsay, do you want a pair of Satan shoes? Should we buy you? I know you're a shoe collector.
No, because, first of all, Nike is completely distanced themselves from this. And even
Nike
though
has
they're going-
nothing to do with it.
Yeah, they're actually going to sue the company that made them. So I don't want them because, I don't know, I feel like it's just a big gimmick. They're not legit sneakerhead shoes.
I completely agree. All right, here we go. Three new lawsuits accusing Deshaun Watson of sexual assault and inappropriate conduct were filed Sunday night, including one that claims the quarterback is deleting Instagram messages and contacting the women who formerly provided him massages in an attempt to settle those cases. The three lawsuits, which were available Monday morning in the Harris County District Clerk's website, bring the total number of lawsuits filed against Watson to 19. Now, John, where does this story go? Does somebody still trade for Deshaun Watson? Does he stay in Houston because of this? What's the dynamic?
I think he's untradeable at this point. But for me, personally, I need to see some hard evidence and I need to see some facts from someone other than this one lawyer. This one lawyer, his last name is Busby, has filed all 19 suits. So it's one guy.
Right. By the way, not uncommon.
Right. But do you know that this guy lives down the street from Cal McNair?
I don't.
He does. He lives down the street from the Houston owner, Cal McNair. He insists that he doesn't have a relationship with him and that he did not do this intentionally. But there's a conspiracy theory out there that McNair got Busby to do this. So Watson would stop asking for a trade, and
can
now
I just point out,
he's untradeable.
I find this really to be offensive because there are how many women?
19.
Have come forward? 19 women?
Yeah.
Aren't we in an era where, particularly when there is a pattern as wide as 19 different women, that we believe the women as opposed to believe some sort of set-up scheme? I mean, those women have very specific stories, and they are very similar to each other. And I tend to believe I tend to believe the women on this, as opposed to some ham-boned conspiracy about the attorney living down the street.
Does it make a difference that he will not release the names of any of the women?
No, women don't want to. They don't have to have their names released.
Okay, so
they were involved in a sexual harassment situation.
I don't know. To answer your original question, I think that until we get some resolution here, Deshaun Watson is untradeable. You can't trade three number one picks in your whole franchise for a guy who might be in jail next year. But also, you sound like you're saying guilty before proven innocent. I'm the reverse. I think he's innocent until proven guilty.
When there are that many women saying the same thing happened, then I believe the women.
Okay. Without hearing from him at all.
He's trying to buy them off.
Well, according to them.
He's trying to send them personal messages to settle cases.
Right. Now, if that comes out and that's true, then Deshaun.
Well, that has come out.
Well, no, but it's all Jay. It's this one guy, Busby, who's putting it out there.
Yeah, you're focused on the one guy. I'm focused on the 19 women.
Right, but the 19 women are all represented by him, and I refuse to believe that
19 women are making up the same story.
No, well, I mean, it's going to find it. But regardless of what's true and what isn't, while this cloud is over him, is over Deshaun Watson, you can't trade him. He's become completely untradeable.
Yeah, I agree. It's to you.
Okay. Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer, who previously has tipped his pitches to opponents and pitched with one eye closed in spring training, brought both gimmicks to the table in a matchup with his former Cleveland teammate Jose Ramirez over the weekend. Bauer signaled to Ramirez that a fastball was coming. Trevor also would point to his eye and let him know he had one eye closed. Bauer still struck out the Cleveland third baseman on a 2-2 fastball. Trevor was especially pumped and joked around with Ramirez after the at-bat. Here's my question. Is this harmless and fun or obnoxious and arrogant?
I think it's harmless and fun. I mean, he's going to troll people I'm closing my left eye, I'm closing my right eye, I'm pitching with one arm behind my back, whatever it happens to be. I mean, that's one of the things that makes him entertainment. If you sign up for the Trevor Bauer e-ticket ride, you've got to take the uncomfortable moments along with the really fun ones. So I have no issues with it whatsoever. I hope he remains entertaining all year long.
Of course it's harmless and fun. It's spring training. The games don't mean anything. We would have a debate if it was in a regular season game.
They were friends when they were teammates in Cleveland, so it's all good.
If he did it in a game that mattered in the regular season, you could have the argument that, hey, man, these games matter. He's setting a bad tone, blah, blah. But these games don't even count. Lindsay, you think it's harmless and fun, right?
I think it's great in this situation, like you said. And plus, Ramirez was giving it back to him a little bit, too. Like, just kept stepping out of the batter's box and throwing Bauer off with his, when he was getting ready to pitch. And I thought it was funny.
Yeah, me too. All right, Mason. All right, it's to me.
All right, March 23rd, which was last Tuesday, the Lakers played the New Orleans Pelicans on TNT. Of course, Anthony Davis didn't play. LeBron James didn't play. Amazingly, though, only 920,000 people watched the game on TNT. Only 920,000 people. That is a 35% decline from the same game in that slot a year ago. And it is consistent across the board. NBA ratings are just down. And, the pandemic gives everybody a lot of time to watch, gets everybody a lot of time to follow. There have been great storylines. There's great intrigue around the season. Why do you think NBA ratings are down the way
they are? The pandemic.
Pandemic.
Yeah. For that particular game, I think it has a ton to do with no LeBron, no AD.
Oh, yeah.
But NBA ratings down across the board. It's a little bit – the seasons have been mixed in. Like last year they played basketball and crowned a champion in October.
Yep.
Normally they would do that in June, and then they ramped it right back up in December. So I think people are a little oversaturated, but I think it'll come back when – number one, when you get the stars back, and number two, when you have your race to the postseason, I think everything will kind of tick up a bit. But, let's think about it. If you had a game tonight that was Brooklyn and the Lakers, and you had no Durant, no KD, no Harden, no AD, no LeBron, the ratings would automatically plummet. So, let's get the stars back in there. Let's get it revved up to a playoff race, which is coming, and I think the ratings might go back up. What do you think?
Yeah, I think you can kind of throw ratings out for everything right now. I think people are in weird moods. I mean, as you pointed out, it's the Roaring Twenties. People are starting to go out and hang out and be out more. I think people are breaking out of the pandemic a little bit and getting their vaccines and all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the ratings for everything are down because our lifestyles and our lives have been turned upside down in the last year. So we don't know when to watch things, when stuff on, what night is that on. I mean, all that kind of stuff. The days blend together. I think it's all a combination of those factors that the NBA ratings are down. And hopefully they will pick up here. I'll tell you, one of the reasons why I actually think not having fans in the stands affects the viewing experience. It affects me watching the game on TV.
Well, by the way, I can tell you that I've been hearing kind of through the grapevine that the NBA is targeting April to get fans back into the California venues. So it would be Lakers, Clippers, Warriors, Kings. They're talking about beginning to mid-April, probably starting at around 10-15% capacity, but it's coming. So I think that they're trying. I think they agree with you, and they're going to start addressing it this month. This coming month.
Yeah. All right. Hey, the Fast Track is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Find out why Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. The Lakers have acquired the best player available on the buyout market. It is Andre Drummond. We talked to him a little while ago. Now, what's interesting is Brian Windhorst is kind of a naysayer. Nay, he says. He doesn't believe that Drummond will have a big impact. Let's hear from him coming up next. Plus, Frank Vogel on the addition of Andre Drummond. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, what's going on? Thank you very much for being out there. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate you guys. And, John, the very latest on the big national poll I'm running, who wins, Godzilla or King Kong? Which way do you think it's leaning?
Well, Godzilla will win, but boy, I'm getting a lot of reaction that we're underrating King Kong because he would be more intelligent.
Yeah, we're sleeping on Kong, apparently. Godzilla is getting 55% of the vote. Nobody ever said Godzilla was a dummy. Kong with 45%.
I'm getting Godzilla is a dummy.
Really? Godzilla's a dummy?
Yeah, I'm getting...
How has he survived all these years if he's a dummy?
Royce Tony, Zilla has the brain the size of a pea. He's a dinosaur. Kong will outsmart him. All right. King Kong, this is from Kenneth Castillo. King Kong is a primate and intelligent. He can deflect the Godzilla fire using a shield. Godzilla has little T-Rex arms. Kong can punch, kick, lift, throw, slam. Godzilla can whip its tail and breathe fire. That's it. Winner King, MFing Kong. We have struck a nerve here.
And we're going to know. We're going to know the answer on Wednesday.
It comes out Wednesday?
It comes out Wednesday on HBO Max. So we're going to know the answer by Thursday.
I'm also getting mixed reviews on your trip to Mexico.
Yeah.
JR says, "Hey, John, I went to Ixtapa, and that is usually a place where rich Mexican people vacation. Not a lot of outsiders know about it. It is very nice. 1,000% recommend it. It's a hole-in-the-wall place, but a very good choice by Mason." Another guy says, "I have family in Mexico, and COVID's growing out of control there because people don't believe in vaccines while others don't believe COVID is real." So there's one argument on each side of the fence.
But because I have my vaccine, I'm okay.
Yeah, potentially.
Once I have my vaccine, I'm like, I'm good.
Well, you'll be fine, man. Have a good time.
Yeah, I'm going to have a blast. I'll be honest with you. I'm going to have a really good time.
There you go.
I'm intending to. Busting out of the house, busting out of the country for the first time since all this stuff started. All right, so Andre Drummond, we talked to him a little bit earlier in the show. We asked him, Jorge, are you ready for this? Okay, we asked him why he chose the Lakers with so many other teams interested.
You know, I wanted to play. I wanted to win. I wanted to know what it's like to win at the biggest level, whether it was in Boston or anywhere else. You know, I wanted to know what it's like to play at the biggest level. So it wasn't anything in terms of just me liking a team more than another. I just picked a team that I felt like could play the most and affect the team right away.
And here he is on a tweet that was dug up from when he was in high school talking about the idea of playing with LeBron.
It's crazy because I don't remember that tweet at all until I spoke to my best friend the night that it came out. He was like, yo, I remember this day. This is like the day before you went to UConn. And this is crazy how time comes back in full circle. So excited to be here and excited to be on the same floor as him.
And the last one, if he needs any time to get ready to play since he hasn't played since February.
I use this time to get myself in the best condition possible. You know, I've lost about 10 to 15 pounds during this time. Wow. So right now I'm probably in the best shape I can be in. I'm ready to play today. I don't need any time to get revved up, but I can play right now.
Ready to go. And, of course, Wednesday is the next game for the Lakers versus Milwaukee. He would be very useful in that game without question. So Brian Windhorst, ESPN NBA insider, decided he was going to be a dark cloud over this entire Andre Drummond situation. Downer Brian. He says he doesn't think Drummond will have impact.
Yeah, I don't know how much he'll play when they're fully whole in intense moments, because I believe that the Lakers are at their best when Anthony Davis plays center. But he's so fragile with injuries that you don't want to play him a lot there. And so the Lakers haven't invested a lot in their center position over the last couple of years because they know they sort of have that trump card they can go to. So in the interim, Andre Drummond is one of the best rebounders of the last 25 years in the NBA. The guy rebounds at an all-time elite level. And so you will see that definitely make an impact. And he can score. You know, and the Lakers at times, especially without AD and LeBron, I mean, they have difficulty putting the ball in the basket. So short-term, getting a guy with that kind of offensive talent, I mean, it can't help to improve them. I don't think it's a game-changing move in the grand scheme of things, because when, like I said, when they're whole, I don't think he's going to be out there when it matters. And if they're not whole, it's not going to matter.
There you go. There's Brian Windhorst. And I don't think he's necessarily completely wrong there. The Lakers are at their best when AD is at the five. He just can't play the five all the time.
What this move does is it gives the Lakers almost unprecedented lineup flexibility. So if the other team is killing them with big guys like Embiid or Jokic or Gobert, then you can put Drummond into the game and match their size. If you want to play AD at the five, go for it. You want to play go small and play Montrezl Harrell at the five, go for it. But the Lakers are going to be able to adjust to whatever is happening in the game, and that's why Andre Drummond is so valuable. It gives them a completely different way to play. And now they have a three-headed monster at center and can adjust to whatever the game dictates. Whether you go small, you play Harrell. You want to stretch the floor, you play AD. You want to go big and get every rebound, you play Drummond. That's why it's significant.
Yeah, I think it's going to make a huge impact, especially particularly in the short term. I mean, I think it can make a real difference in the short term, because right now the Lakers are in a position without AD and without LeBron where they really have got to find a way to tread water. I mean, for them to play 500 basketball right now would be an accomplishment. I mean, if you look at the next 10 games, it's a rough road. We did this on Friday, and you had them going 10-0.
10-0.
I think
so. And since we did that, they're 2-1. You had them going 3-7 or 2-8.
I've got them going 3-7, and this was their. Those were two of their wins: Cleveland and Orlando.
Yep. All right. So far, well, it's too early to say, but I'm one game off, and you are still alive for them to be 3-7. But they have to go on a massive losing streak. Where's the other win, do you think, in the next seven games?
I'm going to go Sacramento, at Sacramento.
Yeah, I think they're going to win more than that.
So yeah, we'll see. Rest of it looks really tough to me. But, I mean, Drummond's going to make a difference.
Yeah, I think so, too.
He's going to contribute right away. 877-710-ESPN. We still got a couple of spots left for the NCAA college basketball Papa Shot. Everybody is getting a team who calls into the show today, and then whoever wins the tournament will wind up getting a Papa Shot for their favorite school. So I think I still got Arkansas and Baylor left. UCLA, USC, both fantastic over the weekend. One of the things, John, that you pointed out earlier in the show, and I want to circle back to, is the UCLA Bruins, who played a thriller of a game with Bama. They were up three at the end of regulation, and Jorge, follow me. This is what Alex Reese from Bama did.
UCLA will not guard the inbound. Jones gets it into Quinterly, dribbles up the right side to midcourt, ahead to Reese. He'll take a deep three, top of the key for the tie. Got it! He hit it! Alex Reese from the top of the key hits the three. We're tied at 65. Alex Reese pulled up from about 3 or 4 feet beyond the line and hit nothing but net.
So that is the one thing that you couldn't do there as UCLA, as a defense, is to, with a three-point lead, not foul. The thing that makes sense is to foul there.
I don't know how many times this has to happen. And after the game, Mick Cronin admitted he blew it. But Mace, then I watched it happen last night in the Laker game. At the end of the Laker game, they were down three. The Magic, Orlando Magic, were down three.
Right.
And they had the ball. The only thing that can hurt the Lakers is, at that point, is a three-pointer. And Otto Porter got a wide-open look at a three. Yep. He just missed it. But why are you letting him shoot the three at all? And hopefully, Mick Cronin admitted after the game that he made a mistake. He overthunk it. He thought that the Alabama coach heard him tell his team to foul. And yep. So he was afraid that the Alabama players were going to go into a shooting motion and get three free throws. And then that way you make all three free throws and force overtime. But if you tell the referee that you're going to foul on the catch, you walk over to the ref and say, hey, as soon as they catch the ball, we're going to foul them and send them to the free throw line. By the way, they could not make a free throw to save their life in that game. And so
they missed those two, right at the very end.
Right before that. So they elect not to do that. Mick Cronin says, well, they think we're going to foul, so let's not foul and maybe throw them for a loop. And the kid gets great look at a three. Right in the middle. You heard that announcer say they're not guarding the inbound pass. The guy drove right to the top of the key, launches a three, and you're going overtime. And the thing that was amazing about that game was UCLA in overtime just completely throttled
Alabama.
Blew
the doors off, yeah.
Scored 23 points in 5 minutes. So if you think about that, that would be the equivalent of scoring 92 points in a half. In a half.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
and crazy. So UCLA just blew them out, and now they play Michigan. And I think if that situation comes up again, Mick Cronin's going to foul. But I don't know how many times coaches have to see it before they realize the right play in that situation is to foul.
Yeah.
But it happens all
UCLA,
the time.
Michigan, by the way, tomorrow night right here on 710 ESPN. Pregame coverage starts at 6:45. Coming up next, John, have you heard about the homecoming queen scandal out of Georgia?
No. What is it? I love that. I love homecoming queen scandal.
Queen scandal. Coming up next, Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Oh, well, if Morales, as long as he's been in radio, he should know that Radio Tinder doesn't need promoting.
Yeah, no, radio.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tinder according to sources, is doing fine. Fast Track is the new thing. There's no war between Radio Tinder and Fast Track, is there, Lindsay?
No, but I mean, you do call Fast Track, you have referenced it as the favorite segment on Mason and Ireland.
Well, it's our favorite. It's Mason and my favorite.
And it was the favorite for, 15 years.
It was.
Yeah. And new, so new game in town. On the map.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Hey, all Bates, right. Put up a poll. What's better, Fast Track or Radio Tinder?
I'm putting that poll up right now. Oh, yes. We will find out. All right, so I want to get to this this story, which I find to be very, very shocking.
You had me at Homecoming Queen Scandal.
Tate High School in Georgia. They had an election last year for Homecoming Queen, last fall.
Okay.
And on last week, that 17-year-old girl and her mother, Laura Rose Carroll, were arrested for hacking into the Tate High School student information system and rigging the vote. Basically, mother and daughter found ways to get into the confidential student records, and they fixed the Homecoming Queen vote. The two are now facing four felony charges, including fraud and property crimes. Do you think those sentences, do you think those crimes are appropriate here?
I would think they could get off with a warning, but...
Oh, no.
No, they didn't fix grades, right?
No, they didn't hack into student records.
Right, but they did, but just to fix the Homecoming Queen election, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think you just strip her of the Homecoming Queen and the shame of that story alone is enough. You think they need to go to jail?
I think lock them up with Massimo.
So,
lock them up with Massimo.
While you were gone, I had an unbelievable story like this, okay? So you remember you had that Tom Cruise deep fake technology thing you played on the show one day?
Yeah.
Okay, so did you hear about this? There was in Pennsylvania. There was a girl that was on a cheerleading team, but she was like third in line behind two other girls, and her mom wanted her to be like the queen bee.
Right.
So her mom used deep fake technology.
No.
To take the first two girls, the most popular girls on the team, and had them vaping and posing naked and, you know, like doing all this stuff that they didn't actually do. She was just using deep fake technology.
Wow.
That is disturbing.
To shame these girls, and so her daughter would rise to the top of the cheerleading chain. Now that...
The top of the cheerleading chain.
Yeah, that... They charged her with fraud and like illegal use of, you know, technology. I don't know what the law is, but now it made me think, Mace. Think of all the deepfake technology you could use to start a scandal. Like somebody could make deepfake technology of me and you, like robbing a bank or, you know, saying a bunch of stuff we never said that would get us canceled, but it was never us. It was just deepfake technology. See, I think that deepfake technology needs to be regulated. You can use it,
but how do you have to regulate it? I mean,
just like they regulate us, you can use it, but it's got to come with a license. And if you misuse it, you get it taken away.
Well, wait, you can't, this is renegade technology. It's not like there's some school of deepfake. People are deepfaking people all the time now.
Right, but I'm just saying, don't you think that girl and her mom should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law?
I do.
Because
they hacked into a student system.
No, I don't, I think the homecoming thing is,
oh no! They hacked into
minor.
Student records. I'm absolutely that's a felony.
I want the Homecoming Queen crown to be taken away, and I want it, and I think the shame of losing the title is enough. But the people that use the deepfake technology to make up false stuff about other people, those people got to get locked up. That's bad.
So. Did you get a sniff of Homecoming King or any of that stuff?
No. I went to high school with a guy I'm friends with that was like the epitome of big man on campus, was the starting quarterback on the football team.
Yep.
Was the best looking guy in the school.
Yeah.
We knew he would be Homecoming King when we were all in junior high. And when, when 17 magazine did a spread on like the most dateable high school kid in the country, like the dream guy, it was him. He's on the cover
of
17
magazine.
What
did he have, like a publicist at 16?
No, he was just a super good-looking dude, and he was a great athlete, and he was on the cover of 17 when he was 17.
And so he
was Homecoming King, and I don't even think anyone ran against him.
Did you elect a Homecoming King?
Yes, but all the girls just voted for him.
I was the homecoming king, but the only reason I was there was because my girlfriend got elected homecoming queen. There was no vote on me. The referendum was on my girlfriend, right. Emily Weber, and Emily Weber won. So I got to ride around in the car without the top on, you know, the convertible waving and all that stuff for homecoming, which was fun. But I had no impact on the vote. Emily won, and I got to be the homecoming queen.
Yeah, the homecoming queen at my school, my senior year, was the coolest girl in school, and everybody loved her, and I haven't talked to her since high school.
Yeah, Emily was my girlfriend for a long time. And it's been years since I talked to her, but she's a great girl. Great girl. And yeah, well-deserved as homecoming queen. And by the way, when did this stuff become so important? When did it become so important to become homecoming queen that you would actually hack into a computer database to go through student records to be able to rig an election?
You clearly don't watch a whole lot of reality TV.
Well, wait, is that really a big deal to be the homecoming queen and to hack in and get student information?
For some people, it's like they act like their livelihood, their life depends on it. You'd be surprised at how many like weird random series they have on MTV and all these reality TV shows on Netflix about making a cheerleading squad or becoming the homecoming queen. It's ridiculous.
All right, so I'm sending you guys this this cover of 17 magazine of my friend.
Okay.
And then you guys can look at it, but it is my friend's name is Clay Tucker. I still talk to him. He's a great guy. And he in high school, could do no wrong. And it was like this is February of 1983. This is coming, but it had to actually be before that because we got out of school in 81. So somebody must have posted it in that year. But it was never a question of who's going to be the homecoming.
So what were you voted most likely to call Laker games? What in your yearbook?
Probably, yeah. Like most likely to.
Did you have any of those awards?
Well, no.
Best personality.
We had a television station at my high school, and that was closed circuit. We did a news, and I was in the. It's funny. Me and my friend Scott Swan both did it, and we both became newscasters later in life.
Oh wow!
Okay, so Mace, you know Rick Cutler, who engineers our remotes?
Of course, Rick Cutler.
Rick's dad, Fred, was my AVTV teacher.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Matter of fact, Swan, my buddy Scott, won an Emmy last year and gave it to Fred, who's retired but still alive.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. By the way, John, I was voted most likely to succeed. So and most likely to
prove
go
it.
To Hollywood.
Yeah,
those
so
two
how
things.
Did, how did that go?
I went to Hollywood and I did succeed.
Well,
for
there
the
you
most
go. Well,
part,
I, you don't remember this, I'm sure, but one time I made
Lindsay
Mason,
prove it.
Lindsay, one
Man,
time I made Mason. I said, Mason, who's like if you debate who's the most successful or famous person to come out of my high school?
Yeah.
It's tough. It's got like Mark McGrath, lead singer Sugar Ray, Leslie Mann, the actress,
yep.
G, the director. There's a bunch of people. So I said to Mason, who's the most famous person to come out of your high school? And he said, it's me. And Lindsay, I did what you did. I said, prove it. I kind of baited him into it. I got the number to Maumee High School. I said, we're going to cold call your high school. And we cold called, and the receptionist then answered the phone. I said, hey, I've just got a random question. Who's the most famous graduate of your high school? And she said, oh, that's easy. It's Steve Mashonsky. It's like Mason set it up. It was unbelievable. You remember that?
Mashonsky. Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
It was great.
Yeah, no, they gather around the Steve Mason monument there at Maumee High School on the campus now.
Wait, so you got both most likely to succeed and most likely to go to Hollywood? You got
I did.
Two
I got
superlatives?
Both. I got many superlatives.
That's impressive. I got one. Mine was most photogenic.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's
not
a good
most
one.
Like, right, not so, most likely to be photogenic, most photogenic. So mine
you were actually
was
photogenic
then
at the
and
time,
there.
Yes.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, perfect.
It was a picture with a crossbow then.
No, yeah, I didn't have that.
Exactly. Where is the crossbow?
We want a picture exactly. of you with your crossbow.
You have failed miserably on the crossbow challenge.
You guys, I was in Ohio for a long time, and I kid you not, I probably went up in that attic like four times, and then in the attic of my garage twice looking for it. And I asked my mom about it, like, how do you not know where a crossbow is? And she's just like, I don't know. I might have donated it or thrown
you
it away.
Misplaced the crossbow.
You guys,
oh, wow.
update.
Yes.
Breaking news.
Okay.
Mason, when does this Godzilla Kong movie come out?
Wednesday.
All right, we have a listener named Chuck Lee.
Has he seen it?
Yes, here's what
he
says.
No spoilers, no spoilers.
There are no spoilers.
Okay.
He says, just finished watching Kong versus Godzilla. Let's just say, awesome movie. There will be a winner.
Wow.
And that's the tweet.
All right, good.
So the question will be resolved on Wednesday.
All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Mason, Ireland, 710.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
ESPN. All right, here we go. It is Radio Tinder time. Linz, what do you got for us?
All right, guys. The 2021 NFL draft is going to be somewhat back to normal this year with a big event in Cleveland.
Nice. Cleveland alert.
Where fans are going to be present. One person who won't be there, though, is Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, the presumptive number one overall pick. Lawrence has declined the NFL's invitation to attend the festivities in person and will instead watch the event with his friends and family on campus at Clemson. While some people take issue with the biggest star of the draft not being there in person, Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk supports Lawrence's decision and says that prospects should be paid an appearance fee to be there because it's not college anymore.
Right.
Do you agree with Mike Florio? Swipe left or swipe right?
I actually do. You know, once you're out of college, I think that they need to be paid. I think that it's completely their choice as to whether or not they want to show up. Let's put it that way. I don't feel they should be obligated to show up. That would be my position.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason to go is because it's fun, right? I mean, it's kind of fun to have your moment and to have your excitement, but if you want to do it from home or you want to do it with your friends or you want to do it on your campus or one of those things and that's more fun to you, I see no problem with it. I don't think you have an obligation to actually be at the draft, and especially this one, because I don't know what the COVID restrictions are going to be like. I don't know what kind of testing protocols they're going to have for everybody that's there. Might just be a total royal pain in the ass, so just have it from your living room at home with your family and your friends from school. To me, that makes sense. I don't think there should be any penalty. I don't know about an appearance fee, but I don't think there should be any penalty for not going.
Well, there isn't a penalty for not going. He's just saying that if you want these guys to show up, because over the years, the past couple of years, more with, you know, last year being the exception, more and more players are opting not to go. And I don't know, I guess a lot of it has to do with guys that aren't, you know, maybe like top two or three, you know, I guess like clutch picks.
Yeah.
You know, right. How many times have we had to sit there and watch these guys on camera slide while they're in the green room or whatever, fall and be humiliated on TV? So I think,
right,
while Trevor Lawrence doesn't fall into that category, I think more guys are staying at home because I think maybe they feel like, why do I got to go there and do all that when I could just be at home with people who I enjoy it with? So maybe that has something to do with
Yeah, absolutely. All right, what's next?
All right, Action Network's Darren Rovell is always on top of the biggest sports bets. And last night he tweeted a photo of a sports bettor's $1,000 ticket that he bought back in January for USC to win it all. The ticket will pay $200,000 if USC wins the whole NCAA tournament. Rovell asked his followers, if they owned this ticket, would they sell it on ProSwap, which is a site where people can buy and sell sports bets? Yes, apparently that's a thing. ProSwap has a very similar ticket, you know, same odds and everything and same payout, listed for $14,000. So if this were you, would you sell your $1,000 ticket for USC to win it all for $14,000 today? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right in a heartbeat. Take the 14K and laugh all the way to the bank. Because if USC wins it, you still win 14K. Mates, if USC gets beat by Gonzaga, who's a great team, you get bupkis. I would do it.
You know what? I think you're giving your team bad luck if you sell on that ticket. If I'm rooting for USC, I'm holding that ticket. I'm holding it until I win the championship, until the balloons fall from the rafters and the confetti is in the air. I'm holding that ticket. I'm going to win it all.
See, I would sell it. I would 100% sell it. But have guaranteed make $13,000 profit when, I don't know, are they going to really get past Gonzaga?
I think they are.
Okay. I'm just saying, I would go for the easy money.
I would too. And Lindsay, it's a sound business decision to do it that way. I would. But and by the way, if you take the 14K, you really can't lose. USC wins the whole tournament. You still got 14K more than you thought you were going to get. And, you know, Gonzaga is, like I said, a 9.5-point favorite, and they've beaten 20 teams in a row by double digits. I think USC can win the game. But if you wouldn't hand me 14K for making it this far, I'll take it.
So for what it's worth, my friend was in Vegas the first weekend of the tournament. And I sent him $20 and had him buy me a couple of tickets. One of those tickets was for UCLA to win it all. It was a $5 ticket, and if they win, I win like $700. Should I sell that ticket?
If they win, what would you get if they win?
Like $700, but it was only a $5 bet, so I'd win like $700.
$700, and what would you sell it for?
What would you sell it for?
Let's say I could sell it for like $100. Should I sell it?
I would hold out for $200.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'd hold out a little bit. I mean, the point of gambling isn't, it's not necessarily supposed to be safe. It's not money in the
sure.
bank. It's supposed to be an element of surprise and drama and, you know, riot. Apparently, Michigan, which had a terrible stretch in the Big Ten this year, there were a couple of big tickets bought on Michigan to win it all. And if that team wins and Michigan's still alive, if Michigan wins, there are a couple of houses in Vegas that are going to get wrecked pretty good by that thing.
Clinton Yates, by the way, in our bracket challenge, picked Michigan to win it all.
Oh,
so
there you go.
For that.
Well, there you go.
Bergman picked UCLA.
Nice.
Good. I hope they win and Bergman wins the bracket challenge so I can win my $700.
There you go.
That'd be great.
All right.
Everyone's
there you go.
Happy.
Everybody wins. All right,
all right,
one
next
more?
One. Yep, Kevin Durant, even though he's not playing right now, we all remember he's frequently said that he came to Brooklyn to win a title by himself as like the, not necessarily by himself, but as the unquestioned lead dog. Yeah.
Yes.
But fans on Twitter Sunday morning decided to throw KD's logic back in his face after the Nets added LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, of course, after adding Blake Griffin and James Harden this season. Durant decided, you know, he's not playing right now. He's probably got nothing better to do. So he's going to reply to some of his haters on Twitter.
Oh, boy.
One tweet that said, "Why KD always got to come to Twitter after every move he make me feel like he's insecure about the moves he makes. If you're going to get 5 all-stars that can make the finals without you, then do it. Stop making moves then coming to Twitter for validation." KD replied, "Because I knew y'all would be on here crying, and I smell blood in the water, so I'm here to fulfill the prophecy, LMAO. Another tweet said, "I see you can't lead a team on your own," and he replied, "I'll never, all caps, never be able to do anything that I really want to do on Earth by myself." Do you have an issue with KD replying to his haters on Twitter? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, it's just who he is.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with – I hope he doesn't get carried away with it. Like, that's the thing. I mean, he's had instances where he's had a burner account arguing with some 14-year-old kid in his mom's basement playing video games over whether or not he's the best player in the league or the best shooter in the league or whatever that is. As long as you don't let Twitter eat you up, like – I'm generally pretty good on Twitter. I get some crap on Twitter, and that's all fine. But I never let myself get carried away, and I rarely respond to stuff like that. But if that's his game, if he wants to take it on, and he wants to jump in there, and he finds it entertaining and fun, good for him. It's entertaining and fun for us.
I think it's great.
He's incapable of letting stuff go. He takes on the trolls all the time. I probably wouldn't use any headspace on it, but he does, and it works for him, so more power to him.
Hey, at least this time he's putting his name and his face and his own account out there instead of, like you said, hiding behind a burner account, and he's addressing his trolls head on. Good for him.
Yep, good for him. Good for him. All right, there you have it. There is your Radio Tinder for today. Coming up next for you, the Lakers make the big splashy buyout market
Let's
move
go.
And getting Andre Drummond. Things look good for the Los Angeles Lakers. Plus, Brooklyn made a little move also. They acquired LaMarcus Aldridge. What does this balance of superpowers now look like? 877-710-ESPN.
Wait, isn't Brad Turner coming on next?
Oh, I'm sorry, Brad Turner. We'll ask him about it coming up next for you.
Yeah.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.